Hello, hello, hello. Kiefer Ronte here. How is everybody doing? Just coming to you from my house, my office, where I am processing out something that the Lord gave me yesterday, some revelation that He gave me. I want to process it with you guys today. I want to talk to people that are in business. I want to talk to, I think this will apply to anybody, but I specifically want to talk to business people. I work with a variety of CEOs and high achievers and business owners. And I got a little bit of a revelation the other day that Revelations chapter 3, to the church of Laodicea, that this letter, reading out of my Bible here, this letter to the Laodiceans is actually very fitting for the business person. And I live in Orange County, super wealthy county, lots of millionaires. And I didn't do enough study on Laodicea, but maybe this sort of fit on Orange County of that day. Laodicea maybe was in Orange County of that day, but I just want you to read this because I think the Lord's going to really share some stuff to us as business guys and to those of you out here, the business guys and gals, that could really help you. And it says, of course, you know, Laodicea, we never like hearing from. I remember growing up thinking about Laodicea. I'm like, Laodicea, that's the lukewarm Christians. I never want to be a Laodicean. But there's some amazing promises in here, actually, for the overcomer that learns to overcome. The business person that overcomes, the person that overcomes, there's a lot there. But what does it come? How does he come? These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. But let me just say this first of all. God is the ruler of creation and creativity. Entrepreneurship, business is creating. It's multiplying. It's increasing. It's marketing. It's selling. It's buying. It's creating a product. Then, but he is the ruler of creativity. He designed creativity. He is the leader of creativity. He's the one that gives us power to create wealth and so confirm the covenant. And it's important to remember that in our journey, because I think one of the ditches of an entrepreneur is that it's all on our own shoulders. Like, we're the ones that have to create the wealth. We're the ones that create the finances. We're the ones that have to create the breakthrough. So pride starts sneaking in there. Oh, I accomplished this. I made that money. I did this hard work. I remember I was with a guy that had built up a whole industry, a whole city was built around him. He was an icon. And I was with him, not a believer. And I started talking to him. I said, hey, how'd you make all your money? He said, well, a lot of hard work. He started telling me a story about how he worked really hard as a youngster. And I'm like, you know what? Your money came from God. Your hard work even came from God. And he had a beef with the church. He said the church had ripped him off for millions and taken millions and taken his donations and this and that. And he was all hurt and everything. I said, I gave him that scripture verse. God is the one that's given you power to create wealth. He's given you even the ability to work, to create, to think. And so there's a humility that needs to be there. And guys, you know, even as a business person, the more we lean into this, the more we will actually be able to flourish as a business person, as a kingdom business person, as a prophetic business person, because someone that hears God, because we recognize at the end of the day, He has given us these ideas. He is the first and the last. This is how He comes. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true, the ruler, the Amen. What's that? The last. That's the finishing touch. The ruler of creation. The more we yield, the Lord is my shepherd. The more we yield to Him as shepherd, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. I do not lack. I lack nothing. we might always feel the pressure as an entrepreneur, or a lot of times feel the pressure of being the shepherd, being the one that provides, being the one that, you know, has to do the hard work and has to have hard conversations and has to push and has to provide for employees and all those kind of things. But we have to remind ourselves that we are still yielding to the shepherd. He is our provider. And I was getting this revelation recently. I'm like, you know what? Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is our provision. But literally, it's not like, here, let me give you $20. Let me give you, $30,000. Let me give you $1,000,000. Oh, we need that money from you, Lord. No, he's not just someone that gives his money. He literally is provision. His essence is provision. And in he is in you. He is in me. Literally, the essence, Christ is in you, and you no longer live. Everything you need, Peter says, 1 Peter, I believe, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's in Christ. He has not given you money. He is money. He has not given you provision. He is provision. This whole world came from him. The earth belongs to the Lord. The wealth is his. He is that. But it was something, there was a settling when I realized, you know what, I'm not trying to get money to keep advancing, get new ideas, continue to get this, continue to get that, new clients, new this, new that. No, I'm resting in the one who is provision. You are provision. You are a good provider. You are a good father. In father, a good father provides. But he is the very essence of provision. There's an unending supply from him. Unending. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. The provision is in the glory. Woo! So it's so powerful. What is in him? The more we recognize, I'm not the big dog. He's the big dog. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. I'm one of the little kings. I'm one of the little lords. That might have a little area that I'm leading. But he's the one that is the king. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Come on. You know what I'm being right now, in case you're wondering? I'm being a prophet right now that's laying foundations of Christ into your life so that you can succeed. You can build on a foundation that's eternal. Prophets lay foundation. So I'm speaking to foundation. I work with a lot of business guys, and my whole journey is get them to yield to the Lord, surrender to the Lord, recognize he's the big one. So he says, I know your deeds, going on with Revelation 3. They're neither cold nor hot. Because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, this is the business version. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. I want you to notice that. These guys were saying, I'm rich. I have all the wealth, I have all the money I need, I have everything I need. I have acquired wealth, business person, acquired wealth, rich, and do not need a thing. But I want you to recognize the subtleties of this verse that is not actually a good thing. I don't need a thing. I don't need anybody. That word thing, need a thing, is nobody, nothing, any man. It's arrogance. I am self-sufficient. Now, some of us want that. I want to not need anything, to need no more money, to have this continual flow. I mean, I know that there's something in us. I remember the Lord told me this once, Keith, I am your best annuity plan. Christ is your best annuity. He is the consistent, forever provision that you need. I don't need a thing. No, you need to surrender to the King. He is who you need. I mean, look at even Scripture. Nevertheless in the Lord, nevertheless, 1 Corinthians 11:11, nevertheless in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. In other words, you can't stand on your own. Man doesn't, I'm dependent on my own. Woman, you can't stand on your own. One, like the world's trying to create, independence. I mean, we've heard the statement, we're not trying to be independent, we're trying to be interdependent. First, Scripture talks about the eye can't say I don't need the leg, the toe, the arm. I don't need each other. What's it saying? Hey, We are interdependent. We need each other. But here they were saying in Revelation, I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. That's pride. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I remember in my arrogant younger years, I said this to my wife. Can you believe this, guys? When we were just getting married at 22, I said, I had already like asked her to marry me. She said yes. It was a miracle. She said yes. But it was like, why? I said, I don't know how you're going to fit in my ministry. I do everything. That's what I told her. Isn't that a little bit ignorant as a youngster, a little bit youthful ignorance? I don't know how you're going to fit in. What? What is marriage? Realizing that you're interdependent, that you need someone else. What is life? Realizing that you need someone else. What's our journey with God? Realizing that we are not the big kahuna. He is. This is how I'm going to spit you out of your mouth. Why? Because that thinking makes you lukewarm. You don't realize. He goes on. You say, I'm rich and I've acquired wealth. I mean, that's like, I got millions. I got this. I got that. I got these cars. I got these houses. I'm good. He's like, you do not realize how I define wealth is different. You are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Wow, business person. Shaka, Holy Ghost. That's why I work with business people, CEOs, they're Christians, and I love it. But so many Christian, we call them Christians in business. They're Christians in business, but they're not kingdom entrepreneurs. Because kingdom entrepreneurs, it's about the king and yielding to him and not being the big guy. He is the big guy. Christian business person, you do whatever you want to do, but you just throw on the little symbol of, you know, the fish symbol. On your business card. Oh, I'm a Christian in business. But you're still operating like the world. That's how these goes, right? I'm rich. I don't need a thing. Jesus, I mean, the Lord is talking to the church here, to the angel of the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church. You say you're rich. You're wealthy. You have everything you need. You don't realize you're poor. Blind. In other words, you ain't seeing what's really going on. My journey with business people is helping to see what they don't see. That's my prophetic, because I come in and I see stuff. I don't even know what I'm going to see, but I see stuff that they don't see. They might be making millions of dollars, but I help them realize, you're poor. I don't tell them that. I realize you're kind of poor in this area over here, lacking. You know what a poverty spirit is? It's a lack of identity. You're poor because you don't understand your identity over here. How do I know you don't understand your identity? Because you're like, I'm rich. I've acquired it. I don't need anything. I just want more of what I already have. You don't realize that's a lack of identity. That's poverty. It takes someone that knows who they are. Jesus had to know he was the king. He had to know everything was under him to then kneel down and wash his disciples' feet. Knowing all things were, like his, Jesus knelt down and washed his disciples. He humbled himself, became a servant. You have to know how powerful you are to serve. It's okay to know I have wealth, but then it's like the one that has wealth has me. And my identity is a son. My identity is not successful, wealthy, entrepreneur. My identity is son. Identity as daughter, loved one. You don't realize you're poor, blind, and naked. In other words, you don't realize that you're exposed. There's some vulnerabilities in your life that you don't see. That's one of my joys, is to help business guys see what they don't see. A lot of times they don't have a good marriage. They don't have a good way of relating to their children. They don't have a good relationship with their kids. Sometimes there's little insecurities and fears, and sometimes there's hidden stuff, big old affairs and this and that going on in them. They're naked, they're exposed, but they're living with their wealth as their identity, and they don't realize, man, they're deficient. So if you're listening to this and you're a business person, I counsel to you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. In other words, the Lord comes and says, hey, I want to do some refining in your life so that your wealth will actually have meaning. Your wealth, Guys, you can make $100 million and have nothing in eternity. You can make $100 million and have a huge reward in eternity. It's whether you caught this or not. You allowed yourself to be seen. Your scripture says, he says you're naked, but you allow yourself to be seen. You allowed the right people to see everything. See the inside of you, the good, bad, and the ugly, the dreams, the failures, the thoughts. You learn to live vulnerable. You learn to live open, and there's a power and an authority. When you're open, then you're an open book. Then someone can mold you. David says, I'm wiser than my counselors because I meditate on your precepts. David had counselors. He was an open book. The way he read, you know, read Psalms, and you know, where he wrote the Psalms and sang the songs and Psalms. He was open. He was very vulnerable. He was open. And he had counselors speaking into him. He had counselors, prophets, and calling. That's what I'm doing. I'm a counselor. I'm a prophet. I speak into kings. I help them. But then what happened? He would take the things that they shared, and he would meditate on it, and then he would go to the next level of wisdom. I'm wiser than my counselors. He caught this wisdom. Because we got to, first of all, have some people looking in every area of our life. Nothing hidden. Zero hidden. I've learned, you can't hide if you're afraid. You can't hide if you feel like if people see me, they're going to think I'm a fraud. And hiding is the enemy's playground. Authority is when everything is in the light. And we're children of light. We're sons and daughters of light. God's looking for some business people that are in the light, that know how to be in the light. They're powerful. They're humble. They know how to make wealth, but they're in the light. Because he wants to come and he wants to put white clothes on. Let me just deal with that stuff you're ashamed about. Let me deal with your past, your history, your family line. Let me deal with all those things. And let me just bring some healing to you to cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Let me help you see. That's what the prophets do. When I get around busy people, I help them see. Because what's if you receive a prophet, what's the reward? You're going to get the reward of sight to see some stuff that you can't see in your own life. And then what's that going to do as a business person? It's going to help you go to the next level. If you were making money before, it says, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth. Is that, you know, that's what the Lord said. Hey, you know what? You don't realize you're poor. Get the, you know, shift. Embrace vulnerability. Let me put purity on you. The white clothes. Let me clothe you in the righteousness of Christ. It's not about you being all good. That's why you can be vulnerable, because you realize it's not about me anyway. It's about Christ. I don't have to hide because I'm not saved by me looking good to everybody. I'm saved by his grace. The power that came in and transformed me into a new person, a new creation. So that you can become rich. God, the Lord's not against riches. It's not about riches. It's just, does riches have us? Are we worth? Are they our everything? Or is our identity around them? Remember, 1 John, it says, don't, you know, like, the boasting of what one has and does not come from the Father, but from the world. But the one who does the will of the Lord will live forever. Like, we're not supposed to be living. It's not like, the Lord had to remind me this of the other day. You know, the other day, it's like, because I have this nice car, and, you know, God's given me some nice stuff, and it's like, it's a part of, you know, like, being a business guy. And it's also a part of sort of a calling card that business guys can relate to. Oh, you have some of the stuff that I have. And but he was reminding me, Keith, if you need this to validate you, then you're not going to have authority. You don't need the car and the house and all that stuff to validate you being assigned to minister to business guys. So we always have to fight to make sure that those things are not our identity. We can have them. There's a purpose for them. There's nothing against them. God wants to give us all good things and even some things that we don't really need or just fun. It's not like stuff is an issue to the Lord. It's not like, oh, you shouldn't have that nice car because you only have a certain amount. He can give you the nicest car, the nicest house, and the nicest, I mean, and like have like gazillions left over because he is provision. It just comes out of him. He spoke and the world was created. Money's not an issue to the Lord. But I want you to see something else. Here the Lord is talking to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 and other gospels too. And, you know, he goes on this journey with this rich young ruler, and he loves the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, he asks him one question that gets down to the root of things. He says, rich young ruler, sell all and come follow me, and you'll have great riches. And what happens? The man's face fell. This is Mark 10, verse 22. He went away sad because he had great wealth. See, I want you to see that. Go sell everything and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Woo! The Lord just tested him. Does the money have you, or do you have the money? Is the money rule you? That's the spirit of mammon. You don't make decisions because you're not. If the Lord says, go here, you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I should do that. But we're supposed to be people of the kingdom. When God says, go here, we say, we jump. When he says, jump, we say, how high? And then Jesus looked at his disciple, because this man went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? I checked out that word hard. I know it seems kind of a simple word, but I checked it out. And I dug down a little bit, kind of below the Greek, a little couple layers in there. One of the words below hard was impractical. How impractical is it to enter the kingdom of God? That takes on a different conversation. The business guy oftentimes will logically think, if I give this, what will I get in return? He makes a practical decision. If I invest there, I'm going to get this much in return. It's practical. But Jesus says, give everything to the poor. That did not seem practical. He could not get God's logic that there was something eternal. Remember I said you could have $100 million and have nothing in eternity. If you could have $100 million and have a ton in eternity, depends on if you live in the impractical way that God requires you to live. Sometimes he requires you to do something that's not practical. And I'm not saying we live a life of giving to the poor, because I think there's five levels of giving, and that at least I'm in discovery of. And so oftentimes we live at level one and level two, which is like we give to the poor. That's like level one. Level two is we give to the church. That's level two. Those are the two, like we always, like oftentimes we're always like, have I been giving? We're trying to ease our conscience. Did I give here? Did I give here? Did I do something good? I gave to the poor. I gave to the church. I'm like, we're missing the next three that have so much more potency. Next, I mean, each of these are valid. Those are valid. Scripture says give to the poor. Scripture says tithe, give to the church. And whether you're a new covenant, you think, oh, it's not a new covenant or not, there's still an expression of giving to those that are speaking into you. So there is like a tithe to give, however you want to get there. So like, let's just say those two are, baseline. But then there's like three others. There's like, let's just say level three, giving to some charities. Some good projects, some people building orphanages, people dealing with sex trafficking, people like, okay, that's level three. That's awesome. That's great. But let's just keep going higher. Level four, give to someone that's building a business of some sort that you can see is going to make a strategic impact. Okay, I'm gonna give to something. It's gonna create return for them. Maybe there's more than this. Level five, give to someone that has a business that you can partner with. That's gonna influence the industry. It's gonna be the best in the industry in that particular realm. And you're going to invest in that. You're going to put some money in it. You're going to get some return in it, financial return. But you're going to get some kingdom return out. It's going to make an impact. And then what's another one of those? Build another layer of your own business. Invest in your own business to make a kingdom impact, not just a dollar impact. How is your business and my business, how is it making kingdom impact? What is kingdom? Power? Atmospheres? The values of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the power of heaven, the atmospheres of heaven, the values of heaven, the structure of heaven. How are you bringing that into your world? So how hard is it to enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, as he talked about the rich man. In other words, how impractical. We've got to think practically. When I give to the poor, I'm giving to the Father, and he will repay me. When I'm tithing, I'm showing honor to those who are speaking into me, whether it's your local church or apostles and prophets that are speaking into me. Oftentimes, I encourage people that are working with me. It's like, hey, consider this a part of your tithe. Paul the Apostle said, hey, when you in Philippians 3, when you're coming, bringing your gift to me, it's like, it's the gift is not about me, it's about you. My God will supply all your needs. And so, like, there's apostolic giving that Scripture talks about. I just encourage people to say, hey, give to someone who's speaking into you. That I would consider that a portion, that a part of your tithe. And then level 3, are you giving to some people that are doing some things that are dealing with some problems that are out there? Are you, because that's going to have an eternal effect. Are you actually sowing into some businesses, other people's businesses, that's going to help them make more dollars? Maybe you're going to make some more dollars on it, but you can see that this could bring something up to a higher, a more visible place in society and create impact for the kingdom. Maybe you should invest. Sometimes we want to invest everywhere else, but it's like we don't really think investing in ourselves is kingdom, but like you need to invest in something you're doing. Like a lot of times people get, if I get $1 million, I'll give it to the church. What does that mean? They're going to give the level 2. I'm like, we got a lot of money ruling government in our nation, in our states, in our regions, and in the industries, because we only think giving at level 1 and giving at level 2, give to the poor, give to the church. We don't think of giving to good investments. We don't think giving to even building another business that could be the best business, like the best business in the industry. I was just processing with somebody that I related to the last few years that has created an amazing product that's solving a huge problem. I just, to protect the innocent, I won't share it. It's solving a resource problem. Can make billions of dollars off of this product. But I'm like, this is not, we got to think bigger than that. This is a product that can make billions, but it's going to give that person incredible influence if they leverage it correctly. That's the level 5 giving. Invest in yourself in something God gave you. Because it's a God idea. Not just, you got to know your motives. Is this for me? Do I just want to be luxurious? Do I just want to be considered wealthy and rich? Do I want other people to think I'm awesome? Or am I doing this so I get greater influence so that this will give me a voice at another level where I can begin to shift government, economies, industries? Come on, shaka Holy Ghost. I'm excited about this. I hope you're excited. I was reading Daniel the other day, and Daniel says, Daniel chapter 7, I love this passage. The Ancient of Days comes. The enemy's winning. The Ancient of Days comes. And he gives authority and announces victory for the saints. And it says, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. The sovereignty, power, and a greatness of all the kingdoms will be handed over to who? The saints, you and I. Oh, wow. They're going to be handed over to God one day. God's going to rule. No! God wants you and I to rule in this earth, in this life. Not lord over, but serve the industries and to bring kingdom leaven into every one of those. Look at this. He's handing them over to us. All the mountains of influence, that's the kingdoms here. That's going to belong to us because they belong to him. We're his kids. We get to partner with him. We get to bring those. He wants us to think so much different. The world talks about KPI. It's your key performance indicators in the business world. What's your key performance indicator? What's the indicators that you're performing well, that you're making money, that you're doing well? And I say, what's your KPIs, kingdom performance indicators? What's the indication that you're bringing the kingdom into your world? And it's not, oh, I'm giving all my money away to the church. That doesn't mean you're doing anything kingdom. Are you doing something to advance the power of God? Well, I'm giving it to the church. They're going to advance the power of God. You're the church. You're the one that rules and reigns in your realm. You are called to reign. The saints are reigning in every realm, not just in the building. This is why we're so ineffective. We're not reigning and ruling and thinking like reigning and ruling kings that are under the King of Kings, that are yielded. All the money is his, but he's given it to us to steward, to advance his kingdom. The one who took the 5 towns and made it 10, he got 10 cities. That's where God wants to take us, to the cities, to the regions, to the nations. But we've got to begin to think kingdom. I know that's why God has brought me into the business world, because I love working with business guys, helping them translate what they're doing in the kingdom. That's why sometimes business guys will think I gotta donate all this to the church or to a charity, because they don't realize how is what I'm doing kingdom? And how do I bring kingdom into what I'm doing? And the money I'm making in the industry I'm in, how do I grow something bigger? How do I innovate? How do I, like Joseph, solving the problem in the industry of Egypt, in the nation, got him authority. He didn't put his offering somewhere else. He figured out a solution to that nation's problems. Hey, he was like an investor. He was like a stock guru. He could see, oh, the trend. 7 years is going to be great. It's going to go up, and then it's going to be 7 years going to go down. He could see it. He could predict it. And he had prophetic sight. That was prophetic intuition. He could prepare storehouses of wealth. So when that came time, when the downward spiral came, you know what happened? When the downward spiral came, Joseph went up higher. The wealth increased. That's what we need to be thinking like. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We're seeing from God's perspective, and we're going to go higher and higher. We're building for something eternal. The money is not the issue. It's, does the money have you, or is the money serving kingdom purpose? So these are just some thoughts for today. Woo! I feel the fire. I feel a little bit excited about these thoughts. I feel excited for what God's doing. I'm so excited for the journey we're on together, guys. And you know what? If you're a business person looking to bring a kingdom mindset into your business, it will bring more breakthrough to wealth and impact, but it will create a whole other dynamic. If you're looking to like get the hidden things out of your life and come to the light, come and live in light, be clothed in white, no longer be naked, have eyes that see, then you know what? You could consider jumping into something that I'm doing. Jumping into a consulting journey with me where I'm going to process with you. I work with high achievers and millionaires. If that fits you, and or if you're kind of on your way to that trajectory and you know God's called you to that, just go check out what I'm doing at www.increasewithkeith.com. And there's a little video there. There's a short little application. If not, if you're just listening to this podcast or this YouTube and you're enjoying this, man, I just pray blessings on you. We have a lot going on. We have a conference coming up. If you're watching this before July 13th through 15th or listening to us before then, join us in our conference. You can go to www.engageyourpurpose.com. And sign up for the 3-day gathering in San Juan Capistrano, in one of the wealthiest counties in America, and come catch the grace of true wealth, which the prophets carry an authority to help business people see where the wealth is, but help them get their priorities built on the kingdom of God so their wealth will sustain and have an eternal longevity and will matter in the kingdom. So man, I love this journey. I love being alive. Bless you guys. Let the fire of God fall on you. And we will talk to you again soon.